This morning, I want to talk to you about something that is core to our faith, something that we must pursue more in the days ahead of us than in times past, and is a part of the very purpose in which Christ saved you, purpose for your life. I want to talk to you about evangelism. I titled this morning's message, Driven by Love. Driven by Love. And it's a message with the theme of telling others about Jesus, because we have been called to tell others about Jesus. You can turn in your Bibles, and I encourage you to do so, to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28. Now, if you have a pen in hand or a pencil or your device and you want to write this down as a flow of movement, as we'll be moving through this message, you can write down, number one, the mission. The mission. Number two, the motive. The motive. Number three, the message. The message. Number four, the mindset. The mindset. And then lastly, you can go ahead and write down the movement. The movement. Matthew chapter 28, our Lord said this, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything that I have commanded you. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." And Father, we thank you for the words of your dear Son, who loved us and gave his life for us, that we would be restored into a wonderful and right relationship with you, and that we would experience your mercy and forgiveness. We would experience a cleansing of mind, of spirit, of body, of soul, of all that we are. We would feel the weight of sin, that burden lifted. All that you've done so that we could be your children, your sons and daughters, free from the bondage of sin and free to serve you. Free to love others and to be moved by love, to be driven by love, to tell others about you and the wonderful work that you've done in our lives. And God, I know that this life is not easy. You said that, Jesus, you said in this world you will have tribulation. And God, I'm afraid that there are some here that because of the hardness of life, they have lost sight of your goodness and mercy and how you delivered them from the condemnation of hell. But today is a day of renewal. Today is a day of rethinking things, of realigning ourselves to the Great Commission and understanding and giving ourselves not to the hardships of life or the challenges of life, but giving ourselves to you, who is the author of life, who can cause us to rise above the things of this life so we can accomplish the purpose of life that you have given to each one of us. And so, God, as we are reminded of your word, the last words, some of the last words that you spoke, Lord, help us to take them to heart. Let them sink in us and to be the words of life that move us to do your will. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Well, some of the final words to Jesus' disciples were, tell others about me. Tell others about me. That's the mission. Now, Jesus did his work. He spent 3 years here on the earth as far as his ministry was concerned. We know he lived to the age of 33, but he spent 3 years in mission work and planting, sowing seed, doing the hard work of tilling the ground. And he did his part. His part wasn't to stay here. His part, not physically. His part was to come to share the gospel, the good news that God has sent his son into the world to seek and save the lost. Salvation has come. The kingdom is in our midst. And God is calling all sinners to repentance. He did his part. And once his part was done, he went back into glory, and he is seated at the right hand of God, and he left the mission to the church. As it says, go therefore. That's what he told his disciples, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And the first thing that Jesus said to his disciples as he was going to be ascending into heaven, he said, go, go. This was not a suggestion. It was a command. This was a command to go. The next thing is he said, make disciples. What is a disciple? A disciple is a learner. A disciple is a student of Jesus. And he tells disciples to go and make disciples. A disciple is a follower, someone who follows the teachings of Jesus, someone who seeks to live according to Jesus' example, someone who spreads the message of love and salvation to others. This is what a disciple is, and this is what a disciple does. And again, our Lord told his disciples to go make disciples. Disciples are made. And he gave that responsibility to his disciples. And then the third thing, he said to all nations. And you know, Jesus did tell his disciples, you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. And that's exactly what they did. They testified of Jesus. The Messiah had come. He died on the cross for our sins. He rose from the grave, just as the scripture proclaimed. And he ascended into heaven. And they took this message and they spread it all through Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria. And it's reached the whole world. What a movement. And we're blessed because we live in a country where the whole world has come to us. We have the whole world here. I mean, there's people of all nations. And certainly the church continues to go out. But it's important for us to know and to remember and to realize when we look at other people that the message of salvation is for everybody. No one to be excluded. No one. The gospel is for men, the gospel is for women, the gospel is for children, the gospel is for sinners, the gospel is for transgenders, the gospel is for straight, the gospel is for gay, for homosexual, you name it, for the drunkard, for the foul mouth. The gospel is for every man, woman, and child. The gospel does not discriminate. The gospel is for all. The next thing he told them was baptize them. This is for the disciple who receives the gospel, the opportunity for them to publicly identify with Christ. Publicly identify with Christ, saying to the world, saying to those who are witnessing, I've heard the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I understood it. I responded to it by faith. And I've committed my life to Christ. My life no longer belongs to me, but to Jesus. And I'm going to live my life for him. And I want everyone to know this. These are all things that the Lord has commanded his disciples. His disciples are to go, are to make disciples, not discriminate, and encourage those that come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ to fulfill the ordinances of Christ, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Baptizing them in the one true God revealed in three distinct persons, equally God. And then the next thing Jesus said, teaching them to observe. All followers of Christ are to be lifelong learners. Are you a lifelong learner? You are? Are you reading your Bible every day? Praise God. Awesome. We're all called to be lifelong learners of the teachings of Jesus Christ and obey them. How many people profess Christ, but they don't obey him? Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, but you don't do the things that I say? Well, we are called to observe the teachings, not just be hearers. And then lastly, he said, lo, lo. When's the last time you said to somebody, lo? You know, that's a translation, it's an old English word. Look. Look, behold. It's an attention grabber. Listen. Jesus says, look. Listen, I'm with you always. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. This was meant to comfort the disciples, that they would know that while they are living for Christ and living out the mission, that even though Christ wasn't with them presently like he once was, that they were not alone. Christ was with them in spirit as they are telling others about Jesus. Christ is with the believer. And the very fact that he said, always, always, lo, listen, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age, tells us that every generation of disciples are responsible for their generation to share the gospel of Christ. Every disciple in every generation is responsible to tell others about Jesus. Do you realize that you are responsible to tell others about Christ? You are responsible. Yes, you. Well, wait a minute. I thought that's your job, Pastor. It's all of our jobs. you know, just personal testimony, not to pat myself on the back, but once the Lord saved me, there was about a year's period of time when the Lord, you know, it took for the Lord to clean me up because I came out of a pretty rebellious and wild background. Thank God he saved me at 19. Couldn't imagine if I was out there running in the world longer. But I started telling people about Jesus. That's what we're called to do. We're called to tell others about Jesus. I started telling others about Jesus. And by God's grace, some people got saved. Many people, they didn't want to hear what I had to say. But by God's grace, some people got saved. Some people made commitments to Christ. I'm still telling people about Jesus. I'm talking to you about Jesus. It doesn't stop. The mission doesn't stop. God has called each one of us to feel that sense of responsibility. Yes, it is your responsibility. Yes, it is my responsibility. Yes, it is our responsibility to tell others about Jesus. You know, the command to go was not just for the early church, but it is for us here, right now. These are living words. And Jesus would say to you and to me, he'd say, hey, go to Brockport. Go to Brockport. Brockport is your Jerusalem church. You are here in Brockport. This is where the church building is. The mission field's out there. Now, I know all of us are not from Brockport. I live very far from Brockport. I live in Sweden. I used to live in Clarkson, but then we moved far to Sweden. But, you know, we live in an area, code words, Clarkson, Brockport, Sweden, and there's around 20,000 people here. And about 46% or so of the people that live in this community, they say they go to church. And when we say church, it's important to understand that not all churches are the same. Not every church that says that they are a church are biblical churches. And not every person who says that they identify with Christ are Christian. Because in the community there are cults, and there are churches that don't believe the truth. They don't teach the truth from their pulpit. So that percentage of people that are really, truly followers of Christ is much smaller. And just in the world, Christianity is declining. There is way more people in the U.S., let's say, let's just focus here in the U.S., that are identifying, there's way more people are identifying as either spiritual, whatever that means, or non-religious. So what that tells us is there's a lot of work to do. There's a lot of people to reach. And just in our own community here, in our own Jerusalem, if there's 20,000 people, there's more than half that aren't going to church. What are we doing to reach them? What are you doing to reach them? Because it's your responsibility. It's our responsibility. Then there's Judea, Samaria. You know, there's areas all around. There's folks, some of you come from more west, some come more from east, some come more from the south, the north. You're not in this area code. And yet the mission is still for you in your Jerusalem, your community. There's nothing wrong with you telling somebody about Jesus and leading them to Christ and teaching them to observe the things that Christ has commanded. Remember, the message of Jesus is go. Go. You know, here in our own community, coming back to the Brockport area, in the village, there's around 8,000 people, I believe, that live in the village, and about half of those are students. The largest population here in Brockport is college-age kids. It makes sense. It's a college town. They need Jesus. You know how some of your kids have gone to other colleges in other states? And you're praying that they don't lose their faith? Well, there are some kids that have come here, some other parents' kids that have come in this community out of their state, and they're praying that someone like you would be there to encourage them in their faith. While their kids are going through some challenging times, thinking, well, I've been under my parents' roof for so many years, and now I'm free. I can go out and party and get themselves into trouble. They need you, young person, who loves God. They need you, faculty member, to tell them about the Lord. They need you, neighbor. There's so much work to do. Now, what is the motive? We know the mission is to go, go, go. Tell others about Jesus. What is the motive? What drives us to go? Is it duty? Is it obligation? No, it's neither of those. It's love. It's love. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. Listen to what Paul said. In verse 14, Paul said, "For the love of Christ compels us." You know, we are driven by love to tell others. And this is how we have to think. God loved me. Remember when somebody told you about the Lord? How many times did it take for you to finally realize that God loved you? You heard the gospel message. Maybe some of you, the first time you made a commitment, some of you is multiple times somebody talked to you about Jesus, told you about the love of God, and you resisted and you resisted and you resisted. But then God's love broke through. And when God's love broke through, that was it. You were done fighting and you surrendered. Well, that same love that you experience, there's someone right near you. They need you to express that love. The love of Christ. They need you to tell them about the love that Christ has for them, just like He showed you great love and mercy and forgiveness. Paul continues, he says, because we judge this. These things are thought through, they're understood. And then as they're thought through, it's what motivates us. And it's ultimately love is what motivates us, because we understand this to be true, that if one died for all, that is Jesus, if Jesus died for everyone, then all died. Christ paid the price for every single individual. Remedy has been made. And if Christ died for all, then everyone apart from Christ is spiritually dead. But provision is made through the death of Christ so that everyone can be born again. And He died for all. He paid the penalty for every sinner so that all sinners could have life. Remember, Paul said to the Ephesians, you were once dead in trespasses and sins, but now he has made alive. You are alive because of Christ. And there are others that need to know that they can have life. Now, we have experienced life not for ourselves only and for our sakes, but also that we who live, who are alive because of the gospel, should no longer live for ourselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. And what does he desire for us to do? Go. Go and tell others about me. And let love be your motive. You know, Jesus' love is our fuel, is our motive, is our reason to go, to reach out to others with the life-changing message of the gospel. What is the message? Well, it's important for us to understand that the message is not complicated, nor should it be. Some people are gifted at making something simple so hard. But the message of the gospel is not complicated, and we should not make it complicated. The message is not confusing, nor should it be. Neither should we make the message of the gospel confusing, which tells us, which leads us to understand and to know that we ourselves need to understand the message of the gospel and be able to share it succinctly and simply. We shouldn't be confused about it. You got saved. How can you be confused after? I was lost, and now I'm found. Jesus died on the cross for me, and I believed, and he saved me. He's the Savior, the Messiah. And what he's done for me, he's done, and he will do for you. The message is not condemning. Jesus said, I didn't come to condemn the world, but to save. Why is it that some of us share a message that's not condemning in a very condemning way? The message is not condemning, nor it should be. The message is simple, yet profound in its impact. So what is the message? Oh, we all know it by heart. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but has everlasting life. Those words are powerful. It's easy to remember these three things. One, God's motive. God's motive was love, for God so loved the world. That's how the message starts. There's no condemning there. God's not angry and wants to beat you. God loves you and wants to save you. God's motive, love. And that love, number two, moved God to action, God's action. He gave. If you could just remember these three things. God's motive is that he loves you. God's action, he did something out of love. That's what real love does. Real love moves to action. He gave. And what did he give? He gave his only begotten Son. Jesus paid a penalty in a debt that I owed because I couldn't pay it. So Jesus paid. That was the gift. It was a sacrifice. It was life that was given. The perfect sacrifice of Christ for a sinful man, a sinful woman. God, out of love, made provision for our salvation by giving his Son Jesus. And then the third thing, God's promise. That whoever believes in him should not perish, which that tells us that we are perishing already. I think that's the thing that people don't realize and they don't know. You ask them, hey, you think you're going to heaven? Yeah, I think so. Why? Well, I'm a pretty good person. I haven't killed anybody. I'm not as bad as that guy over there. Jesus said, I didn't come to condemn, but he did say that the world is condemned already. People need to realize, and the gospel at least tells us the truth. We're already perishing. And the whole reason why Jesus came is so that we, by faith in him, will not perish. He came to save. And this is the promise, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the message of the gospel. And in there, we do include repentance. If you remember when Peter was preaching on the day of Pentecost, he said, repent and be converted. Repentance is a change of heart, a change of mind. It's a sense of sorrow over sin, saying, God, forgive me. All those things are a part of the gospel, but they're not difficult. Paul said when he wrote to the Romans in Romans 10, chapter 10, verse 13, he said, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Isn't that easy? He doesn't say whoever does 4 months in the nursery changing diapers or works in cleaning the bathroom for 6 months or whoever reads their Bible for 31 days in a row. He just says whoever calls upon the name of the Lord. That tells me that I could be anywhere at any time in any situation and any place, and if I call on the name of the Lord, he can reach me right where I'm at. That's how simple it is. He says, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then he says in verse 14, how then, now that we understand the gospel and how simple it is, how then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? Now he's quoting the Old Testament. The fact of the matter is now he knows the commission. He knows the mission. Jesus says, go. There has been that sending. And Paul, he says, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. God has called us to go and to share this simple message. Now, what's the mindset? Well, the mindset that you and I should have is, number one, the harvest is plentiful. There's a lot of work to do. And you are responsible to be a worker in God's vineyard. Number two of the mindset is the gospel is powerful. The harvest is plentiful. The gospel is powerful. And number three, the Spirit is purposeful. That's the mindset we should have. The harvest is plentiful. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 9, verse 37 and 38. He said to his disciples, the harvest is truly plentiful. Here's the problem. The laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. Notice, it's his harvest. To send out laborers into his harvest. This was said in Matthew chapter 9. The laborers were few. By the end of Matthew chapter 28, the laborers weren't as few. And that labor force has grown immensely. You are part of that labor force. And we represent a very small percentage of the labor force. The labor force is not few anymore. It's just some folks, some workers have not taken on the responsibility. Some of you think it's somebody else's job. Some of you have different feelings and maybe fears, and so you don't feel responsible. Some of you have gotten so hard-hearted against humanity, you look at people who aren't believers as horrible, horrible, wicked people. And they are. And so are we. The Lord reached us. Can he do it for them? Through you? Amen. The harvest is plentiful. The gospel is powerful. Paul said in Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." And some people are ashamed of the gospel, but you shouldn't be. Why? For it is the power of God for or to salvation for everyone who believes. It is the power of God to salvation. The gospel is what saves. Not your clever ability to witness. Not your fear or worries. Not how what you think or feel when you're sharing. None of that. What matters is the gospel, the message. That's the power. It's telling people about Jesus. That's the power. So you could be scared and tell people about Jesus, and the power of the gospel will do its work. And there's only two ways people are going to respond. They're either going to receive it or reject it. You can know that ahead of time. But that doesn't mean that if they don't receive it from you the first time that they're going to reject it. You don't know down the road. You could be planting or watering a seed. But the gospel is powerful. That's what God uses to save. It's the gospel message, the message of the cross, the message of Christ, the message of his death and resurrection, the message of forgiveness. And the Spirit is purposeful. You don't need to fear. Some of you, you don't share the gospel because you're afraid. You're afraid of what people may think of you or how you might get treated if you tell others about Christ, or how you may not be included, or how you might lose your job, or how you might not get a promotion, or how, whatever the case is, you don't have to be afraid. See, Paul encouraged Timothy, who is a pastor, because Timothy, we know he was a timid individual. And Paul had encouraged him, and Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 and 8, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear." But with the powerful gospel message, he's given us a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. You know that you, even though the world may think you're nuts, you think right. You are sane. You are in your right frame of mind because you know Jesus. Now, don't act like a crazy person, because the Bible says he's given us a sound mind. The Spirit of God is purposeful. We don't have a spirit of fear, but of power, because the gospel dwells in us, of love. It's the motive. We've experienced the love of Christ, and we are to, from that platform, minister the gospel to others, and we think right. The gospel and the truth, the teachings of Christ, is what people need to hear. Now, lastly, the movement. Our Christian movement started in the first century and has continued to spread throughout history, transforming lives, with the good news of Jesus Christ. And it's not over. This movement is not over. And my plea for you is today. Today. If you are not active in telling someone, in telling others about Christ, that you would today recommit yourself to the purpose of telling others about Jesus. You know, today before your eyes remains the harvest. It's plentiful. It's ready. And it's waiting for us to harvest it, just like our Lord said. The laborers are not few anymore. Jesus changed the world with 12 men, not including Judas, but with Paul the Apostle. Those men transformed the world. Now, there was more, we understand, but it doesn't take much to do much when you're trusting the one who can do and does the real work. You are the workers in God's field. You are equipped for the call. You are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace. Be driven by love. Let the love of Christ move you to tell others about Christ. And I challenge you, pray. Start with praying that God would guide you to one person this week to tell them about Christ. That God would guide you to that one person or bring someone to you, and you just open your mouth. Just start by opening your mouth. He'll work out those details. You know, Philip, known as the evangelist, he had no idea what the plans were for the day. But God said, hey, you see that chariot over there? Go run, go catch up to the chariot over there. And then he caught up to an Ethiopian eunuch who he overheard reading the book of Isaiah. And then Philip, he said to him, do you understand what you read? And the man said, no, how could I, unless I had someone explain it? There are people that are in that situation. They might be spiritual, they're seeking, and they need you to come and help them connect the dots. You have to be available. And then he was reading out of the book of Isaiah about Jesus. He didn't know. And he says, who's the prophet writing about it? The prophet writing about himself or about another? And the Bible said that Philip started from that scripture and brought the man to Jesus. And that's all you have to do. Bring people to Christ. Start where they are and bring them to the gospel. And so you pray, God, bring one person that I can share the gospel with. Be driven by love and go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Now, you might be sitting here this morning as we are about to close, and you might be in your heart, your thoughts, thinking, Pastor, I just heard you encourage the congregation to go and tell others about Jesus so that they can make a commitment to Christ, but I haven't made a commitment to Christ. And I'm here, and I haven't made a commitment to Christ yet. Well, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're listening. Because God loves you. God loves you. You put your name in that scripture verse. When Jesus said, God so loved the world, you could put your name there. God loves you. And Jesus paid the penalty for your sins. And if you believe in him, if you call upon the name of the Lord, you shall not perish, but you shall be saved. He will give you everlasting life. It is that simple. But the next move is up to you. God's done everything that he can possibly do. There's no more that he can do. The next move is your move. And if you want to make that move and make a commitment to Christ, you can do it right now. Why don't we all bow our heads, and I want the church to be praying, and if you're watching online or listening, this applies to you. These are now moments. God is not limited to location. Remember, Paul said, for whoever calls upon the name of the Lord. God is ministering to your spirit, and if you have not made a commitment to Christ, now is the time to call upon the name of the Lord. First, you must realize that we're all sinners. You are a sinner. And Christ died for our sins. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and Christ paid the penalty for our sins. Recognize that Jesus is Savior. God demonstrated his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He is your Savior. It's so important for you to repent of your sin. Acknowledge that you are a sinner and say, God, forgive me. I have sinned against you and I'm sorry. Forgive me. On that day of Pentecost, we were right around that time, shortly after, it was spoken, repent of your sins and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped away. And the most important thing after all of this is to receive Christ, to receive him now. To receive him now, for everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And with all heads bowed, if this is you, you want to make a commitment to Christ, you raise your hand right now. Raise it so I could see. I'd like to pray for you. Raise your hand. If you have not made a commitment to Christ, but the Spirit of God is working in you, and you know today is a day for you to make a commitment to Christ, you go ahead and raise that hand. I see those hands in the back. I see that hand that just popped up. And more importantly, God sees those hands. Now, for those of you who raised your hand, I want you to stand up and I want to pray with you. This is a step of faith. It's a small step of faith, and don't be afraid. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Those of you who are standing, you are standing for Christ's sake. Praise God. And let's pray together. And for saints that are, you are here, you could pray, you could join with us. It doesn't hurt, but you could pray, and let's pray together. But this especially applies to those of you who just responded to Christ. You just pray the simple prayer, Jesus, I realize that I am a sinner and that you are the Savior of the world, that you died on the cross for my sins so that I can be forgiven and I could be made right with God. I pray that you forgive me of my sins and I receive you, Jesus, as my Lord and Savior. Fill me with your Spirit and use me for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you could remain standing. Praise God. Awesome. Praise God. If you could remain standing, and this is the reason why, this is not a gimmick, it's not a trick. Welcome to the family. You made a commitment to Christ. And whether it's a first-time commitment or a recommitment, your brothers and sisters here can recognize who you are. They could see you. We are rejoicing with you. And in the lobby or in the here in the sanctuary or in the parking lot, others can say, hey, praise God. We celebrate the decision you made. You made the greatest decision that you could make. And that is to follow your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we celebrate that. Praise God. Just want to share, while you're standing, a few quick things. If you need a Bible, we have a Bible we want to give to you. It will help you, now that you've made a commitment to Christ, what the next steps are. So as soon as the service is over, you come see me. Or matter of fact, during the song, I'll put those Bibles out here. And if you need one, you go ahead and grab one. It's so important moving forward that you continue in the Word of God. Start reading the Gospel of John. It's in the New Testament if you don't know. The Gospel of John tells us about Jesus and reveals to us how Jesus is God. And so it's so important for you to study the life of Christ, because if you want to know who God is, you'll get to know God by learning about Jesus. Number two, it's so important to pray. Cultivate your relationship with God and God's Spirit through prayer. Prayer is you speaking to God. Reading the Word is God speaking to you. So you want to pray to the Lord and cultivate your relationship with Him while you're reading His Word. Read a chapter a day of the Gospel of John. It's so important to do what you're doing now, being in fellowship. It's so important to be here. Be in fellowship, or if this is not your home church, at your home church, or make this your home church. It's an awesome blessing to be here. Now, I'm not promoting our church. I promote Jesus leading you and you following the leading of Christ. And then lastly, tell someone that you made a commitment to Jesus. Tell others about Jesus. We're not in the secret service. We are called to tell others about Jesus. Well, I'm proud of you. You can go ahead and be, well, why don't we all stand as the worship team closes us in a song, and then I have a few announcements to share with you. I'm going to grab those Bibles, and if you want to talk to me during this closing song, I'll be standing right here. If you need a Bible and you want to talk, you just come on up. Don't be shy. I'm going to grab the Bibles. They're right behind me, and I'll be right out in a minute. Let's worship the Lord.